We finished the last chapter with God accepting the repentance of the Ninevites, the other, the enemy, the abusers, the murderers, the killers, and offering them mercy rather than the punishment that their crimes deserved. In one sense, the story could have ended there, but there is this fourth and final chapter, which I'm sure some of you know is essential in order to deal with how does Jonah react to this situation? And of course, Jonah is not pleased. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly what God had done, and he was angry. In those few words, you can sense the power of Jonah's criticism of God. These people had no right to be forgiven. You had no right to show them mercy. They have murdered my brothers and sisters. They have raped my sisters and my mothers. They have killed, burnt all our houses, destroyed our economy. And you show them mercy? Jonah is jealous and angry. It's just not fair for God to behave in this way. Jonah feels that God is abandoning his people, the victims, in order to favour the sinners, the murderers, the ones who have done such damage. And so Jonah then took to prayer. Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Jonah knew that faced with this difficult situation, a lot of people repenting before God, God would not carry out his threat. He would be merciful. And Jonah is saying to himself, God may understand why he behaves like this, but I can't accept it. I cannot accept that my enemy is being forgiven so easily. I cannot accept that God's mercy can be so easily available to the cause of the pain that I now suffer. It's just not fair. And of course, many of us relate to exactly the same thing. And we find it difficult to see things from God's perspective. We go into an intense depression because we suddenly face the truth that our notion of fairness, which is reward the good and punish the wicked in most cases, is not God's sense of fairness. Jonah can't cope. In fact, he is driven to a despair which leads him to say, Oh Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. In other words, I'm holding on to my view that I'm right and God is wrong. Because God is not respecting my rights, therefore I have no real need to live. The cause of my existence is gone. My enemies are not God's enemies. Once an enemy becomes reformed, he is offered, or she is offered, mercy. I can't take it, says Jonah. But then the Lord says to Jonah in reply, Is it right for you to be angry? Who is the source of forgiveness anyway? With that question echoing in his mind, Jonah goes out of the city, sits down to the east, makes a little booth for himself. He sits under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city, still hoping that God would enforce the punishment that it so richly deserves, that he would come down in a blast and annihilate the city like some nuclear bomb. And Jonah wants to watch to see whether this is going to happen. Because the final thing, as far as Jonah is concerned, has not yet been answered. Because he is convinced that his anger is justified for the reasons I have given. But then what happens? God intervenes again. The Lord appointed a castor oil plant and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his ill humour. So Jonah was very happy about the castor oil plant, because the castor oil provided him with that shade from the hot sun, and he felt a little bit more comfortable. He enjoys the shade, but hasn't quite got as far as being able to say thank you to God. A day passes, and God decides, If Jonah is not going to be grateful, then further action is needed. God appointed a worm that attacked the castor oil plant so that it withered. We might remember, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And it was Job who said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." But Jonah is not going to say that, because the worm has done its work just at the moment when Jonah needs the shade the most. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." The destruction of the city was not happening. The destruction was going on in the heart of Jonah himself. Jonah cannot imagine the breadth of God's vision, of God's goodness. And God said to Jonah again, "Is it good for you to be angry about the castor oil plant?" And Jonah said, "Yes, angry enough to die," says he in his anger. There's nothing in Jonah that lacks courage and straight speaking. He will face off God, he thinks. And poor old Jonah still thinks that his anger is justified and that he is now the victim of further anger by God against him because he's been deprived of the castor oil plant. But God is not going to let Jonah off the hook. And God says, "You are concerned about the bush, the castor oil plant, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. So," says God, "why are you so worried? You didn't do anything about this castor oil plant. Your problem is it was a gift and you didn't appreciate it. You turned it into a possession for your own good, and when it disappeared, you thought that someone was violating your own possession and trying to destroy your life." Then God ends the book of Jonah. "And should I not show mercy to Nineveh," he says, "that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" God's final word: "Jonah, your vision is too narrow. God is responsible for everything that exists. God is bigger than the human actions of one group of people against another. And if God is ultimately holding the whole of creation in existence, and within that whole of creation is able to offer mercy when there is repentance, rather than justice and punishment, then you have got yourself locked," he says to Jonah, "in a way of life which puts you into a trench. You're surrounded by walls, and in your walls there is logic and an order. But outside your walls there is a chaos, and the chaos is inspired by self-interest, by destruction, by immorality, by evil, by exploitation. And that relationship between inside the walls and outside the walls makes it easy for you to be comfortable on one side and uncomfortable on the other. But God says, I am concerned for both sides of the wall. I am concerned that people on the other side have the opportunity to recognize my goodness, my gifts. And they come to do that through repentance, through recognizing the errors of their ways, the evil things they have done, the immoralities they've pursued, both at a personal level, at a community level, at a national level, and they are converted to realize that life is in the hands of God. And I, as God, seeing their hands reaching out to me in prayer, in penance, I respond by offering mercy, because that is what I'm about. A world of peoples of different qualities, of different languages, of different faiths, of different, but they're all held in being by me. And if their own way they come to me recognizing their need for me, I will turn to them and offer them mercy. No matter how much I want to privilege one group against another, or offer a unique revelation to one group rather than another, my mercy is universal, My love is universal. And all I ask is that people come to me asking for it in repentance, in sorrow, in humility, knowing that my love is gift and they will respect it as gift. As soon as it gets turned into a possession, us and them, my love dies. It ceases to be gift. It ceases to be life-giving and builds division and enmity and jealousy. And you, Jonah, have to come out of your walls, out of your trench, to appreciate that in my mercy I am affirming the creation that I have brought into being. And I'm trying to lead that creation to a greater understanding of myself as the giver, a greater understanding of the gift that is available, and most important, the energy which is in that, which is love, self-giving love. Amen.